Good morning and happy Easter. My name's Ruth. I'm one of the pastors here. You might remember that a week ago it was Palm Sunday. Do you remember? We waved these palms. If you were here, we were waving all these palms and shouting Hosanna. Do you remember how the people shouted Hosanna, which means save us? Remember that's what they did when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a camel. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Kids, do you remember? No, you're shaking your head. Oh, it was an elephant. That's right. It was an elephant. It was an elephant, right? Is that right, kids? No. Was it a giraffe? No, that just looks silly. That's very silly. What was it then? A donkey. Thank you. Yes. Jesus rode in on a donkey to show that he was a peaceful king, a king coming in peace. And everyone went crazy and they were waving their palms and saying, hooray for Jesus. And we did that last week too. Something you might not know is that these palms that we waved, and I saved this one very carefully, were actually replacement palms. Because the first ones we got, when they arrived in their box, they were beautiful, green. They actually smelled really nice. I hadn't realized that palms smelled, but they smelled really nice. So we trimmed the ends and we put them in water and we went home. And the next day we came, they had big black spots on them. And throughout the day, they got yuckier and yuckier. And you just saw a glimpse of it. Maybe you can put that back up. This is what they looked at by the end of the day. In one day, they went from lovely and green to all brown and yucky. And that made me think that that was kind of like the people. Because the people did that. On one day, on Palm Sunday, they're shouting, hooray for Jesus, we want Jesus for our king, and they were all excited. But just a few days later, they, when the temple guards came and arrested Jesus and took him to the Romans to be executed, to be put to death, they either turned against him or they ran away. People changed so quickly. One day, just like those palms, one day everything was good, and the next day, things were not so good. Just such a short space of time, people went from excitement and cheering and just real joy and hope to hopelessness and despair, to anger, to fear, to darkness. And Jesus was killed. Jesus died and the sky went dark and everything went dark for the people who loved Jesus. It seemed that everything went totally dark. Jesus' body was taken down from the cross and put into a dark cave called a tomb. And they put a big stone in front and sealed it up so that nobody could get in. And all his friends went home very, very sad. Can we make it even darker? Because it was really dark. Thank you. So let's read that bit of the story. Idea. And yeah, I think you're first, right?
As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb.
The next day, the one after Preparation Day, the chief priests and Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I'll rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard.
So Jesus had died and all his friends went home very, very sad. It felt like there was no light left in the world. That some of his friends wanted to put spices on the body and say goodbye in the traditional way to Jesus. But they weren't allowed to do that until after the Sabbath. So So instead, they had to go home and wait. And they waited all Friday night, and they waited all day Saturday, and they waited all Saturday night for about 40 hours, sitting at home waiting, feeling very dark inside, waiting so that they could go back. But then, after about 40 hours, something began to happen. Very slowly, something pretty ordinary. The sun started to rise. So his friends, particularly the women, picked up their spices and their cloths, and slowly and sadly, they made their way to the garden, to the tomb, that cave where Jesus' body was laying. Let's read that bit of the story.
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
So light started to break through the darkness. Slowly, his friends, Jesus' friends, learned that Jesus wasn't dead. Jesus was alive. The tomb was open. The women went to that garden expecting to find death, expecting to find a cold, heavy corpse. And instead, they found life. They found Jesus alive and well, greeting them, talking with them, no doubt laughing and crying with them, telling them that there was no need anymore to be afraid, no need anymore to be sad, that life had overcome death, love had overcome hate, light had chased away the darkness. On Good Friday, some of us made these chains or links in these chains, and each one of these represents something that feels heavy inside of us or dark or lifeless inside of us, something that we would like Jesus to change, to transform in us, to take away that heaviness, to bring hope where we feel hopeless, to bring healing where we feel hurt, to bring life where we feel dead or cold or sad inside. So during this next song, we are going to invite you, kids, if you would like to. When we get to the chorus, it says, "I am free." And if you would like to, you can come up and help rip apart these chains to represent the fact that Jesus' resurrection was not just something that happened 2,000 years ago, but it's something that happens for us every time, every day, every time we talk to Jesus, that Jesus can break apart all these things that weigh us down and make us feel heavy and sad. Jesus can bring life to these parts. So when we get to the part, "I am free," if you are so high or smaller, please feel free to come forward and rip these things to shreds.
Well, good morning, I'm Brian. I'm one of the pastors here. And in case you can't see, I can confirm that all the chains have been utterly destroyed. So they have done their job. If you want to stay behind and help pick up some extra chain particles, feel free to do that this morning. But, you know, dawn breaks around the world at different times. And very similarly, Jesus' friends came to know about this Jesus and about his resurrection at different times and in different ways and what that actually meant for them. There was Mary, of course, and her friends, and Peter and John, we read about, and the rest of the disciples, and then there was Thomas, who has his famous encounter with Jesus. The sun rose, so to speak, at different times and in different ways to them. And then there was the story of Cleopas and an unnamed disciple. And Rebecca and Weston are going to read their story that we find in Luke.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, is the third day since this all took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus."
He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what he had said in all scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened as they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Thank you, guys. On this Easter Sunday, we too are all at different places, I'm sure, in our understanding of Jesus and his resurrection. But we are all welcomed into more of God's light and more of God's freedom. In a way, that was very similar to what Jesus did on his last supper before his death. Here in this story, he does this very similar kind of thing on what we might call his first supper after his resurrection. He broke the bread, and when he did that, their eyes were opened. And they recognized him. It dawned on them who Jesus really was. So today, excuse me, all of us are invited to eat bread and drink juice in remembrance of Jesus. The bread represents the body of Jesus broken for us. And the cup represents his blood spilled out for us for the forgiveness of sins. And as we eat, just like those two disciples, may our eyes be opened to new life, to the freedom and the light that is available to each one of us as we think about that bread being broken and how Jesus reveals himself to us and makes all of that available through this risen life. During these next few moments, you're going to have an opportunity to come and enjoy some juice and some fresh-made bread, which is at the tables here, here, and in the middle. And then the servers, and then each of the tables have gluten-free bread options for you as well. You may also want to pray with somebody at the back of the room. You can write a prayer, put it in on our little wall board in the back stations. And you may give a financial gift at one of the towers. And today we have two other special stations. And I'd encourage everyone, but kids, you're going to want to find these right over here and right over here. You have a chance to take a little disc and a stamp pad and these and a little stamp, and you can make some tokens that are sunrise tokens. And you can take that one of those discs home with you and remind you that God's Son is risen and that all that who Jesus is can kind of dawn on us even on this day. So why don't we pray together? Loving God, open our eyes to the risen Christ. Allow us to see you as you really are. Allow us to recognize you in all of your love, in all of your goodness, and in all of your liberating power. Amen. You may feel free to go to any of those stations as we worship today.
Okay, we're just finishing up communion here. We're going to move on. That was just the introduction. Only joking. So again, thank you so much for being here. If you're new, this might be your first time at Cedar Ridge. We just especially want to welcome you. Hope you feel very at home with us. Please join us after the service. Also, we're going to have cupcakes outside. We looked at the forecast earlier this week and looked like it might be raining, but it's a beautiful day out there. So I hope you can stay after and just hang around for a little bit. And again, happy Easter to everybody. We've just been reading that story, or reading from that story about the road to Emmaus, this journey that these two people are on. I love that story because it's a story of, they're so downcast, they're so fed up, so disillusioned. And then, you know, hope breaks into to them on that journey. And that term, even the road to Emmaus or an Emmaus road experience, you know, has become part of our language in many respects. But I also love the irony of it. You know, there's Jesus. They don't know it's Jesus. He pulls up alongside them. And they're like saying to him, are you crazy? Have you not heard what's been going on? Because he asks all these questions. And then Jesus flips it back around and says, actually, you're the crazy ones. Because haven't you read the Bible? Haven't you read the scriptures? Don't you know how the story is meant to be? And, you know, it's a story rich in irony. We saw right at the end, we're going to read the rest of that story in a moment, but we saw right at the end there that Jesus breaks the bread, like we just did just now, and thanks again to Jennifer Iverson for some delicious bread, right? That was beautiful bread, freshly baked this morning. Actually, it looks like it's all gone. I was going to break some off, but in that story, Jesus breaks the bread, and they realize it's Jesus. And we don't know this for sure from the text, right? But you can almost imagine that maybe it was his hands that gave him away. As he breaks the bread, they seem to have recognized Jesus' hands. And maybe that's because from other parts of the Bible, we read that Jesus still had the imprints in his hands. Actually, probably the nails would have been in other parts of his wrists. But as he sort of opened his hands up like that, they recognized that this was Jesus. And I want to mention a couple of things that I find kind of mysterious about this story, this resurrection story. And the first one is this, that in Jesus' resurrected body, it's a real body. It's not some magical body that's been made perfect again. That Jesus still bears the marks of his death in his body. And hands are these beautiful things, right? They're amazing things that we can do all kinds of precious things with. We can make things, we can create things, we can love people with our hands, we can change things with our hands, we can do lots of constructive things. We can also do negative things, right? We can do hurtful things to people with our hands. But Jesus lived a life where he used his hands for good. His hands, if you like, represent his love extended out to other people, just as our hands can represent love extended out to other people. And our invitation, really, I think, is in this new life, it's perhaps this new resurrected life, isn't all that different or separated from this very life that we're living now. Jesus, it's a real body. It's a body that bears the pain and the scars and the difficulties of a real life, just like we all bear those pains and scars and difficulties of a real life. We're not, waiting for some magical thing to happen and then suddenly everything will be okay and we can start living this resurrected life. No, we can start it now. We can begin it now. So we're just going to hear the rest of that story. So Abihi, if you want to come up and read the rest of the story, and then I'll share a few more words, and then we're going to close out.
While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand what was written in the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
Thanks, Abihi. So we're sent out just like Jesus was, with our hands to bring justice, to bring healing, to bring peace to the world. You know, that includes into our individual lives. Like, you know, you think of all the different relationships we have, all the friendships we have. Think about our own struggles and difficulties, but also into society. You know, I said at the beginning, we've been talking a lot in the last few weeks over Lent about justice in society and standing against the injustice that there is in society around the racism and the environment and all the things that hold people apart. So we're sent out in that way. So our hands represent our potential to do good, our potential to bring change. And we're just going to focus on that for a few minutes and think about how might we go about doing that. And I want to think about hands in the sense of they're unique to us, right? You know, they bear our fingerprints, and no one person in this room has the same set of fingerprints. No one person on the planet has the same set of fingerprints. So our hands are unique. We each have something unique that we can bring. Now, here's the other thing I was going to say about this story that I find amazing and mysterious, and that is, okay, so Jesus came back to life. Then we have to think about, where is Jesus now, and where is Jesus' body now, right? Now, people have been talking about that issue for centuries theologically, so we're not going to get into that too much this morning, but I want us to perhaps imagine something. Imagine that Jesus is with us, right? Because we believe that, right? We believe the Spirit of Jesus is with us. So what if, as the Bible says, you know, we are made in God's image, what if as we come together as human beings, as people who have access to the Spirit of Christ, perhaps we are the body of Christ, right? And obviously, the Christian scriptures talk a lot about that. They use that metaphor that we are the body of Christ. So perhaps in some way, we bear the image of God in the world. We are the body. We are the incarnation of God in the world. And every single one of us has a unique contribution to that image. In other words, if we feel we're not included for whatever reason, perhaps because other people don't include us, or because we exclude ourselves, the image of God in the world, the presence, the body of God in the world is not complete. So all of us belong, every single one of us, no matter what we've done, what we think about ourselves, where we've come from, what our journey has been, we all belong and we all get to bear a part of the image of God, a part of the body of Christ in the world. So we, using our hands, if you like, as a unique symbol of ourselves can go out into the world together and be resurrection, right? Bring new life wherever we are. And we know that's not easy. It's going to take time. It doesn't just happen magically overnight. We have setbacks. This morning we woke up to hear about attacks in Sri Lanka, and our hearts go out to those people and we stand with those people. But we're not going to give up, right? We're not going to surrender. We're going to always have hope and always extend ourselves and extend our hands out with hope and peace and love into the world. So to represent that this morning, we've got an opportunity to make an imprint with our hands, okay? And what we're gonna do, we've got a couple of pieces of paper, and I wanna encourage everybody to do this. Adults, young people, doesn't matter how old or young you are, hope everybody will do this. At the sides, there's some paper, and we have some ink as well. And it's washable ink, don't worry. But you might have a residual mark on your hand, you know, for the rest of the day, but that's good, you can look at it. But you're gonna put your hand in the ink and then make an imprint of your hand on the paper. And that, as you do that, think of it as a prayer, perhaps, where you're putting your hand up there saying, okay, I'm gonna be the unique part of the image of God in the world. I'm gonna be the unique part of the body of Christ in the world, this resurrected body of Christ. I'm gonna give myself to that. I'm gonna be an agent of hope, an agent of peace, an agent of love in the world. And make your imprint prayerfully on the and joyfully, right, on the piece of paper. And then there's some wipes, you can wipe it off afterwards. As I said, you probably have a little bit of an ink stain on your hand for the rest of the day. Well, look at that and think of this. I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm part of the resurrected body of Christ. You bear that mark, right? Just as Jesus bore marks on his hands, we're gonna bear those marks to remind us today that we are the body of Christ. So we're gonna sing a song together, which I think we all know, so let's all stand. And as we sing, just take your time, just head over, put some ink on your hand, make an imprint on the piece of paper. We'll keep singing until everybody's done. Okay, let's sing together.